Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, a production of the Rave Reviews Book Club. Today, Rave Waves presents Raiders, Not Haters. I'm Ronnie Deshay, and I'm one of your co-hosts from Tacoma, Washington, and I'm here today with Shirley Harris Slaughter from Oak Park, Michigan. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Ronnie.
Our other co-host, Joy Nwosu Lobamajoko, is not available today, so we're just going to try to carry on without her. We're here to share our honest reviews about some of the books we've read. Yes, I know it's a new concept, honesty in reviews, but we're committed to giving you that because, once again, we're raiders, not haters. We will also be opening the phone lines to callers who have questions or comments, but you must have pre-registered your phone number with us in order to participate via phone.
We'd love to hear from you listeners with your comments and questions on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC Raiders Not Haters. You may follow along on Twitter by typing hashtag RRBC Raiders Not Haters into Twitter's search box in the top right-hand corner of your Twitter page, and then clicking on the tab that reads Latest. This segment of Raiders Not Haters is being sponsored by Shadowed by Death by author Mary Adler. If you'd like to know how you can get your own recorded commercial to air during one of our shows, please visit the Rave Waves tab on the RRBC site or by clicking the link in the show description on your screen now.
Today, each of us will be discussing our reviews, or shall I say our honest opinions, about the books we've read. Shirley, how about we start with you? Which book will you be sharing with us today? Please give us the complete title and the author.
Well, wouldn't you know it? The title is called One Thy Cozy by you, Ronnie Deshay. How is that? And it's not even April Fool's. I titled the review Love of a Different Kind. The story was well written. The plot and flow was easy to follow. It is about love of a different kind between two girls, Shyla Ann and Gabby, or Gabrielle. But is it really? The tale of all love connections are manifested in this poignant story between two unlikely people. They lived next door to each other and became best friends. This is what happens between girlfriends and boyfriends, but they were two different people. When I read this book, I was wondering what exactly was so different. The author didn't exactly spell it out. And another thing I didn't understand was the title, Cozy. Is it a cup holder that keeps drinks cold? What does that have to do with the title? Is it a play on words? I honestly didn't get a lot of what was being said, and perhaps that's the way the author wanted it. Maybe it's time to ask the author. I gave it 5 stars because it was based on a topic that we know very little about, and I commend the author for writing about it. So, Miss Ronnie Deshay,
yes.
Explain yourself.
Okay. The girls are very different. In the sense of their upbringing, Gabby comes from a family that is back east money, very stiff, very formal. Her mother, I get the impression, is clearly in kind of a loveless marriage of convenience. I mean, it doesn't state that in the book, but that's just the impression I kind of get. Shy, on the other hand, I mean, that was Gabby's family, I'm sorry. Shy, on the other hand, her family is very, almost hippie-ish, very relaxed, very free-spirited, and they've raised Shy that way. Gabby is very insecure about herself. Shy has no fear of anything. So they're very different girls. They end up moving in, well, Shy moves in next door to Gabby when they're about 8, and they become friends because Gabby has always wanted a best friend, and she's never had one. So now she has an next-door neighbor that's her age, and What I think is fun about this book is that each chapter is a different experience in their life, and I really had a good time writing that. The Cozy, Mr. Happy is his name. He is a present to Shy from her uncle, who she adores. And he brought
excuse
her this
me,
cozy.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah?
Excuse me. You say Cozy is a cat?
No, it's a drink holder. It's a little black styrofoam drink. It's on the cover of the book. Has a smiley face on it, and it says, "Have a happy day." So Shy named this Cozy Mr. Happy, and it's her most prized possession because she adores her uncle. So this Cozy, in every chapter, she has this Cozy with her. She never goes anywhere without it. And
okay. The
title comes from the fact that when they're a little older, Shy discovers that she's gay. She realizes she's gay. And as the story progresses, there's a chapter where it touches on a girlfriend of hers that wanted her to continue to prove her love for this girl. So she asked Shy to give her the Cozy because that was Shy's most prized possession. So she wanted this Cozy from Shy.
Right.
And Shy's response was basically that Mr. Happy, and let me clarify something. Shy kind of personifies this Cozy and makes it a person in her mind in that she talks to him. She loves this Cozy, and this Cozy is almost like a living thing to her. So she didn't feel that Mr. Happy would be happy if she gave him away because he's a one-dyke Cozy. So that's where the title came from. You know, you've heard of one woman man or one man woman, you know. This is a one dyke Cozy.
I beat my brains out trying to figure that one out. So that's another reason I wanted to discuss it today, because I wanted you to clarify that for me once and for all. But then you wrote this book at a time when, even though people were coming out, the way you wrote it, no one could really tell. It was like it was just kind of subtly put in there. Is that how you were writing it?
No, I
you
mean,
didn't
it's,
just
it's pretty
come
open.
Out.
It, well, no, it is actually. It's pretty open in the book that Shy's gay. Gabby is not, but it is a love story nonetheless, because they're so close, and it's kind of like one of those things.
Okay.
In a perfect world, they would be lovers, but we don't live in a perfect world. We live in this one, so they're not. You know what I mean?
The
affection that they have for each other, you know.
Well, you know, just take for example, a relationship between two heterosexual females. It's almost similar to this type of relationship in that you can become jealous if your girlfriend is talking to other folks and seems to be leaving you out, you know, and yet it's normal to have that feeling.
Exactly.
So, and it's crazy how our emotions are like that.
Exactly, yes. And the funny thing about this book to me was the difference between Gabby's occasional, there's a couple of the chapters that touch on her experiences with the boys in her life, and then there's a couple of them that touch on the experiences of Shy with the women in her life, and they're very similar, really, in a lot of ways, which just goes to show it doesn't matter, you know, which way you go, the basic situations you're going to end up in are often very similar between the straight and the gay world. So that was one of the things I was trying to show, is that we're all people. You know,
I was a little girl, I had a girlfriend, and we experimented with sex and everything else, and you didn't dare tell anybody anything.
You are right about that.
I mean, it was my girlfriend. We were best girlfriends. We did everything together. It's weird how you can cross the line, but you're experimenting as a child trying to figure it out. And,
mm-hmm.
Of course, I knew which way I was going. I always loved boys. So, it's crazy. I never admitted that to anybody before in my life till now.
And here you are admitting it on the air to the millions of people who are listening.
Yeah. I bet a lot of us have done this. I'm willing to bet my life on that.
Well, I honestly cannot say that I haven't, so.
And my girlfriend was more aggressive than me. I was the shy one. She was the aggressor. Yeah. But it's really,
I don't know if I believe that at all.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, when you have relationships like the one you wrote in your book, in a lot of ways it's normal, but then in other ways it's not, because the line does get crossed, whereas in a normal heterosexual relationship it doesn't in the end, you know.
Right. The interesting thing about Shy and Gabby is they never crossed that line. They never went there with each other. They were just, you know,
they were
dear friends who loved each other. They never went beyond that. One of my favorite chapters was the one where they went to the prom, and Gabby went with the boy that she really wanted to go with, and Shy went with a gay student so that they could pass themselves off as maybe a straight couple, and they went to this prom together, the four of them. And the part where they were talking about trying to get Shy made up with her hair curled and into this dress so she could go to this prom, to me, that's one of the funniest parts in the book. I love that part.
Yeah. Well, she was, but Gabby, it didn't seem like she really caught on to what Shy was really feeling, did she?
I don't know. I think Gabby was as in tune to Shy as anybody was, but not to say that mm-hmm. she necessarily caught on to everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the book is based on a real story. No, not at all. Not at all. I worked with Shy Loren at one point in time when I was dealing cards. The Shy that I knew was not gay. She was a straight girl, but I just loved the name. And so I took the name and I used it here. And then I don't know where the title or Mr. Happy came from. Somehow they just all blended in together between this. I just thought a one dyke cozy would be, for some reason, that line popped into my head. I thought it was fun. And it was kind of what the book is based on, was just the title.
Well, it's definitely different,
and
it really stands out.
And when I decided that Shy was going to pass away, I had originally thought that at some point in time she wanted a child, so maybe she had sex with a guy, maybe, because I know that there's a lot of people that are of the gay persuasion that go this route because one of them wants kids, and I thought maybe mm-hmm. she would maybe contract HIV because they were around at the time when all of that started. But when I got to that point in the book, and the timeline just wasn't quite right, so I figured instead I'd just, you know, give her cancer and call it that. Which I think is a little less heartbreaking and a little bit more relatable to most people, because most of us have known somebody that had cancer at some point. So, you know, when she got sick, that's what it ended up being, was cancer. But yeah, so I mean, it was a fun book to write. I do add to it occasionally, but since everything is an individual chapter in the book, I can keep adding chapters, you know.
Yeah.
And I have added a couple more, so. But anyhow, so that's One Dyke Cozy, and I'm so glad you enjoyed it and decided to review it here.
I wanted to get a better understanding of it, and I thought, why not on the air, where if people are listening, they can chime in with their own thoughts of it. Doesn't look like
mm-hmm.
anybody's in, though, does it, to you?
No.
Does it look like anyone's on doesn't look like anyone's on Twitter
I'm having a little trouble with my Twitter right now, but I'm finally getting some people here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Jan Sykes says, oh, how cool that you are reviewing a book by me today. She says, I love One Dyke Cozy. Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Carl Morgan is late, but he's here, so that's good. Glad you're here, Carl. Thank you. Beam Week says, great story on where the title came from, Ronnie. And then Jen Sykes says, is it working now? Yeah, I've been having trouble with mine for a couple of weeks.
Me and Twitter are not friends. Somehow I get through it.
Twitter and I are okay, but for some reason, whenever I'm trying to do these hashtag things for one of the shows, my Twitter just doesn't work. Bean Week says, this is beginning to sound like an episode of Oprah.
You know Beam is going to come in with something or another.
And Jan Sykes says, I think you made it clear in the book that Shai was gay, and you are both right in that the relationships are the same no matter the sexual preference. Yeah, and that is one thing I was trying to do. Vashti Q says, I've always been curious about your book's title, Ronnie. It sounds like a fascinating read.
Well, you know, she also says, surely you never cease to amaze me, but I don't know what she means.
Oh, I know what she means. I know exactly what she means.
What does she mean?
I think, and this is just me, but I think she's talking about that little piece of information you let slip.
Yeah, well, you know, come to think about it, I bet you 10 to 1, just about everybody in the universe has done it at some point or another in their young lives.
Or at least thought about it. At least thought about
because
it.
Because you're just being curious and you don't understand it when you're young. I was very, very young, and we were experimenting. Right. I experimented with a boy. I was a little fast mama.
Oh, I was too. I was too.
Then I got shy as I got older and started coming to a realization of this.
Mary Adler says she's here and she's enjoying our talk. So awesome. Thank you. Okay, well, I think we're ready to move on. Shirley, what have we got next?
Well, I think, okay. Let's see. The next one, I guess, is probably going to be me because our friend Joy isn't here unless we want to. Let me see. Am I lost on my. I think I am. I'm in the spot, but I got to.
Well, while you're catching up, I'll just go ahead and read my review. Voodoo or Destiny is the book I'm doing today by Jan Sykes. This is a wonderful short story about the choices we make when those closest to us begin our trust. After a night of drinking with her best friend, Claire makes a voodoo doll with her unfaithful husband and sets things in motion. Or does she? I wish I'd had a friend like Jade when I was dumped for a short, mouthy blonde after just 3 years of marriage. Let me tell you, I was not happy. A voodoo doll would have come in so handy back then, but honestly, me being me, the thoughts that ran through my mind at that point went more to car bombs than dolls, let me tell you. I was not a happy girl. This book tells perfectly the story of a woman's first step into the world of voodoo, shells, and otherworldly revenge. It's very well written and captivating, and with most of Jan's stuff, I couldn't put it down. There's a question on the cover of the book, and there's a question basically at the end of the book as to whether or not what happens to her ex-husband is the result of the voodoo doll or whether it's just life happening. So the reader, I think, is going to have to kind of make that decision for themselves if it's voodoo or if it was. It says destiny in the title. I'd say more fate because we all have things that happen to us. Just because we're people and our bodies betray us doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's been sticking pins in it all. So who's to say, you know, whether the results of her little voodoo experiment are because of the doll or if it's just life happening. But I love the fact that she had such a hard time with what happened to her when her husband left her. She just thought she was playing. She just thought that this was a night of a little bit of alcohol with her friend, and let's just make this doll and stab a few pins in it, and it's symbolic. I can get my anger out. I can get my frustration out. And I can see that happening. I mean, I would probably do the same thing if somebody came to me and said, oh, let's do this little ritual and it'll just get some frustration out. Oh, heck yeah. I'd be the first one there, you know, stabbing the pins. So I can see how she would not necessarily think that this is something that would have severe results. I mean, in your little fantasy mind, you're thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this and he's going to lose all of his money. His hair is going to fall out, you know. He's going to start having to take Viagra, all of these things. You're just thinking, okay, this is a little fantasy. I'm just having fun with this. And I think that's where she was at, was she was just in her little mind, you know, she was just envisioning all these fun little things that might happen to her ex-husband, but nothing was really serious. He certainly, I don't think, wanted him to be really hurt, but, you know, things happen. So who's to say what was the cause of it? I don't know. Shirley, have you read that one?
No, I haven't read Voodoo, but I've seen evidence of wondering whether or not something that deals with that cult is true or not. I respect it because I don't know for sure what's really going on. I know when we were in our teens, we pulled out a Ouija board, and I swear to God, something happened, and we just decided after that we would never touch it again because it went right to a spot. I can't remember what the prediction was, but it scared the hell out of us, my girlfriend and I and my sister. So I have a respect for that cult, or voodooism, and if Joy were here, she probably could tell us a lot more about it, maybe. But it's something you don't play with because I think it's spiritual.
I agree with you. When I was a kid, we did the voodoo, the Ouija board thing. It was a game to us. I think we were too young to even think of it as possibly being someplace we shouldn't go. I mean, we were, you know, 8 years old at the time, seven or eight. So it wasn't anything that I think we really comprehended as an adult. I don't know if I would do it. But then again, you know, if the situation, like I said, when my husband left me, like I said, I absolutely would have grabbed a doll and started sticking pins if I could have found any spare hair fibers or anything laying around, you know.
I swear to God, me too. Me too. I think we all feel that way. But then again, I probably wouldn't have had the nerve to do it because of my reluctance to do anything in that regard. Do I hear a cat?
You do. I'm sorry. He's a mouthy little boy.
Well, it's timely for what we're talking about, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. It is. But he's not black, though. He's a Siamese. That's where the voice comes from. Well, we should. Do you have any phone calls?
No, I'm looking, and there's nobody calling in. I don't know why. Folks, please call in. We need you. Well, listen, you know, while we're sitting here gabbing, why don't we go into a commercial break, and then we can figure out what's going on when we get back.
Okay.
San Francisco, 1944. Sophia Narenska, a Polish resistance fighter who survived the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, finds safety in California until someone tries to kill her. She insists political enemies want to silence her, but homicide detective Oliver Wright, on medical leave from the Marines, believes the motive is more personal. He and his German Shepherd, Harley, try to protect Sophia, but she insists on doing things her own way, a dangerous decision. Oliver guards Sophia as they travel from an Italian cafe in Richmond to communist chicken farmers in Petaluma, where her impetuous actions put them both in mortal danger. When Oliver rescues a girl and her dog who are running for their lives, he discovers the dark secret at the heart of the threat to Sophia, a secret with its roots in Poland. When he does, he is forced to choose between enforcing the law as he knows it and jeopardizing Sophia, or accepting a rougher kind of justice. Shadowed by Death accurately portrays the fears and troubles of the communities of Northern California as they bear the burdens of World War II and celebrate the gift of finding family among strangers. Shadowed by Death by Mary Adler. Available in ebook and paperback at Amazon. Pick up your copy today.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll have to get our copy.
I was just looking, and I don't know what happened, but Joy's review is not here on my script. Shirley, do you have it handy?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
So I can
real
read
quick
it.
Before you do, okay. Let me just grab a couple of things off of Twitter here.
Okay.
I wanted to read something that we saw here that Jan wrote. She said, I wanted to leave the ending of the story up to the reader to decide. This was a very different kind of story for me to write, but I really enjoyed it. Jan, I think you did a great job with it, and letting the reader decide, yeah, good thing. Okay, so if you have Joy's review, can you read that now?
Yeah, I do have it. It says, it's called Death Song of the Sea by April A. Taylor. This is a lovely tale with some unexpected twists. Aileen, the protagonist, and her father possess the power to quell the raging sea and so protect their coastal town from sea storms. Aileen wanted someone to love and eventually marry. She used her power to appeal to the sea, and one day Dermot appeared in a battered ship. They fell in love. Dermot proposed but had to leave to bring his family to meet Aileen. From here, disaster hit. Don't take my word for it. Remember, this is a folk tale, and in all folk tales, the humans remain hostage to the elements. This is what happened here. There were parts of the story that made me wince because of some puerile expression or action. But in the whole, I enjoyed the read. And that was her take on this particular story.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
I haven't read that one, but
yeah,
I do have, just to add a little bit more, I do have the blurb here from Amazon. It says, the Midnight Myths and Fairy Tales series of standalone reimagined fairy tales, myths, and folklore continues with the retelling of the classic Irish folk tale, The Bride's Death Song. And this says, Aileen and her father have a secret. They can control the sea and everything within it. Despite this, Aileen's mother and sister perished in the sea, and the young woman believes she is stuck forever in her ancestral home on Ireland's west coast. She goes to the shore daily and asks the sea for one gift. Bring me someone to love, marry, and raise children with. Getting her wish could cost her everything, though, including her own life. So it sounds like it's an interesting book.
Yes, it does. It certainly does.
I have
we'll have to go out and get our copy.
Yes.
Run and get it.
Yes, yes. Joy comes up with some interesting books.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Doesn't seem like much action going on in the peanut gallery, and I don't have any calls. So, we don't seem to get the calls. I think they're just like listening to us.
Well, Mary does say, thank you, Bean, for the lovely commercial. He has a great voice for that kind of stuff, though. And she also said, I'd had reading experiences with Yoruba Babas, and believe there is another realm some people are able to plug into. I have very loud dogs here. I'm watching because of the fires, so I can't call in right now. Well, Mary, we appreciate the thought, even if you can't call in. And you're right. Some people are able to plug into other areas that most of us just can't. I can plug into my refrigerator. That's about as far as I go. Open that door and reach right on in.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, there's no call, so it looks like it's time for us to wrap up the show. I want to thank my co-host, Ronnie, for being a part of the Raiders Not Haters team, and hopefully Joy will get back to the States so that she can reconnect with us. Ladies, this has been so much fun. I mean, Ronnie, this has been so much fun. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, Absolutely, Shirley. This show has been an absolute blast. And thank you so much for being here today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this episode of Raiders Not Haters. We look forward to you joining us for our next show in November. And we're your hosts, Ronnie DeShay.
And I'm Shirley Harris Slaughter, wishing you all a wonderful weekend. And remember, when you're in the business of reviewing books, be a raider.
Not a hater.
We're signing off from Brave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. Bye for now.